Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. I am really excited about talking with our next guest because I just love the restaurant industry. I worked in that industry for a number of years as a young man, worked at Masson's Restaurant out on the lakefront. Many of you probably remember it, many of you too young to remember it. But our next guest is Chef Meg Bickford, Commander's Palace Executive Chef. Chef, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. How are you?
I am doing great. I absolutely love what you do. We go to Commander's all the time. Really enjoy all the presentations that you have, and very excited to talk to you today.
Well, thank you. That's so kind of you. We are very lucky. We've got an incredible team. I'm very proud of the work we do.
So let's talk about that. I mean, obviously, the icon, Ella Brennan, there's an achievement award that's given to folks in the restaurant and hospitality industry every year in her memory. She would be 100 on Thanksgiving Day, I think, if my memory serves me correct. And y'all did a special tribute to her. So tell us about it.
Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, Ella is very present in this restaurant still today, especially with those of us that were fortunate enough to get to work side by side with her. And, you know, we don't forget the things that she taught us, and we are, you know, all constantly trying to continue what she started here. And so this tribute to her for her birthday. You know, we all laughed and said that she would hate us celebrating a dead woman's birthday on her 100th anniversary. But we said we're going to do it anyway. And so doing the tasting menu in honor of her for this past month was a real honor for me. And the menu was a lot harder to write than I anticipated, just because it was so important to get it right. And it was interesting to see the way that we approached it instead of just doing things that we knew that she loved and really replicating old dishes. We decided with some of them to kind of take our, you know, our spin on them, right? And how we would like to serve them to her today, or keeping them the same. And we know that she loved them that way and serving them that way. So it was fun to sit around and talk about Ella and talk about what she liked to eat, and that brought up a lot of great stories and laughs, and so this menu kind of came together. And I have to say, you know, at first it was a lot of nerves, you know, about getting it right, and it's, you know, to honor her is such a big deal to us personally, let alone what she has done for the city of New Orleans and means to all our friends and family around the city. You know, to us, it was very important to do it right. And once we did it, we were really, really happy with what we put out. And it's been a lot of fun. And my team, my younger cooks that didn't get to know her, were really excited to be a part of this celebration for her and get to know her through the food that we're cooking this month.
It's really great, though, that y'all get to honor her passion for creativity, because a lot of the dishes that, you know, that became the mainstays there were created at a point in time where she had a lot of influence over them with whoever absolutely. The up-and-coming chef was at the time, right?
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely right. I would say the blue crab cheesecake is the first course on our tasting menu for Ella. And that dish very much was an inspiration of her when all the cousins took over and opened Palace Cafe, and the tea says me and my cousins ran it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Ella and Dottie and they would stop by and they would get checked on, you know, and see how the younger generation was doing and how their restaurant was doing. And so they were always in the restaurant checking on them. And it was actually, who was it? I think it was Dickie was the chef at the time at Palace Cafe. And Ella was really pushing him, you know, to do more exciting food. And this crab meat cheesecake was one of her visions that he came up with. And that's been on the Palace Cafe, you know, for decades until, unfortunately, just recently. But that's another one of those things that we won't let die, right? And
right.
So we're all picking up the ball and still running with it.
And the next course, one of my favorite fish, the pompano, and y'all have an incredible presentation with it as well.
So this, actually, we're doing flounder, and I'll say at the beginning of the month, we couldn't get our hands on any flounder, so we did pompano, which fortunately was one of Ella's favorite fish, but flounder was her true favorite.
Oh, really?
And so we were able to get some beautiful local fresh flounder, and so we were able to change the menu to do that. But this is served with an herb saint and basil coulis. The flounder is rissoled in brown butter, nice, tender, flaky fish. The herb saint goes with grilled artichokes really beautifully. And one of Ella's favorite dishes from when Chef Tori McPhail was here at Commander's, he kind of created this dish for Ella, and it was a poached Gulf oysters with artichokes and absinthe, and like this crispy puff pastry dome lid. It was actually one of the first dishes that I learned how to cook here at Commander's. And she just absolutely loved that. So we kind of took a lot of those flavors without doing the same dish over again. We knew she loved the comparison of those flavors, put those together with her favorite fish, and then topped that with a crisp Parmesana tuil. So it's like this very, very thin, super crispy potato layer over the top of the fish that you kind of break through, then it bursts into all these beautiful, bright flavors.
And then you guys do something kind of unique. Of course, I like drinking throughout the entire meal. I'm a wino, so I love
my
wine.
Well, we let you do that, too. We take a break from the wine for a little sip of booze.
So we take a break from the wine, and we have the drink in the middle. And tell us about how that came to be.
Well, the Coupe de Milieu, for us, that is, it's such an appropriate New Orleans palate cleanser, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
You know, the intermezzo is been around for a very long time. That word is not new to us. But for us, the Coupe de Milieu is a tiny petite cocktail, not just a straight shot of booze, but a tiny petite cocktail that is nestled in between all these courses. And so it's an opportunity to sit back, to take a breath. You know, we don't have to rush anything. Enjoy a little cocktail. Kind of settle yourself for the next courses to come. And we just feel like that is oh so New Orleans and oh so Commander's. And so we do on all of our tasting menus, we always have a little cocktail break in between.
A lot of folks, especially I'm sure a lot of folks from out of town are not familiar with that. How do they react?
Well, I mean, it is funny, you know. You definitely get people that are surprised and, you know, like, oh, I didn't order this. Like, they don't know why we're bringing them drinks. But I think everybody loves it. And I think it, you know, for folks that come and visit us here in New Orleans, it's really fun to let them kind of get immersed in in real, you know, New Orleans mentality and the way that we do love to enjoy our eating and drinking and carrying on. And so we're really inviting them to do that with us. I think people really get a kick out of it. And this saloon in the sky is, you know, that's what Ella called heaven, and that's where she was going to go, where, you know, everybody was having a good time, and it was all the people she loved and no one she didn't. And so that's, we thought that was just the most appropriate name for that cocktail.
Yeah, there's a beautiful painting there at the restaurant, which I love. Please know, for the record, I would never turn away from the coup de milieu ever. And then we start to finish out with as the entree, the veal dish.
Yeah, so there's two entrees to finish this meal before we get to dessert. And the first of the savory dishes is a veal daube glacé. So veal daube is, you know, tender braised veal in a very red wine, tomato, and veal stock forward braise. Super hearty and definitely a classic of Ella's. But veal daube glacé is, you know, when you had all of this braised meat and this pot of beautiful stew and you fed everybody, what you did with the leftovers would be to remove the liquid from the meat and the vegetables, and you chop all of that up, and then you reduce that liquid until it becomes very, very intense into a glacé, right, where it's going to get gelatinous, excuse me. And so then you combine all those two things to get back together again, and it becomes a snack. So it's really, you know, the very refined version of hogshead cheese made with veal. And Ella just absolutely loved veal daube. And the processes of making things like that and people eating glacés is kind of going away. And so we thought it was a really fun opportunity to bring that back and kind of put it in front of people, you know, kind of remember you like this.
Yeah.
And so we did that with a 5-hour egg. So it's kind of a, you know, the 5-hour egg is cooked with an immersion circulator, and it's circulated for 5 hours till the white just sets and the yolk is nice and custardy and creamy on the inside. So it's kind of a combination of you know, modern cooking techniques with very old cooking techniques on one plate, which I...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Felt like just really encapsulated Ella, right? I mean, she always wanted everyone around her to be pushing and to be innovative and to, you know, always be thinking about what's next, and not just what's next, but like really what our future is with food in this city. And so it was just a great way to nod to her time coming up and the food of that time with the innovation of which she was so excited to see as things really started to change towards her tail end of time in the kitchen.
And if you've not had a five-hour egg, you just don't know what you're missing.
They are fantastic.
I mean, I literally could start with that for breakfast every morning.
You should. There's no reason not to.
Yeah, well, other than the 5 hours.
The 5 hours, right.
So we finish out with one of my favorites, the apple cobbler.
So before the apple cobbler,
that's right.
we have one other thing.
I forgot.
Herb-crusted lamb chops.
Yes, that's right.
We can't forget about the lamb chops. So this is a dish that, and I believe it was when Emeril and Ella were in the kitchen together.
Yeah.
That this dish, just the way that we do these lamb chops, I mean, we render all of the fat off of the lamb chops on the grill low and slow and really caramelize all of that fat. And then we gently, lightly glaze them with Creole mustard and then pack on this very intense ground herb and breadcrumb mixture and roast the lamb chops that way. And they're just so good. I mean, I've had the pleasure of being at Commander's for a very long time, but that means that I've been eating Commander's house food for a very long time. And as a young cook, this was, to me, was just one of the best things that we had done. So I was very excited to bring this back. It's not something that we get to do very often anymore. And so we're excited to do this for Ella. And then the miso apple cobbler, you know, Creole cream cheese, we had a scare a long time ago. And Creole cream cheese was kind of going away. People were buying more things in grocery stores, making less things at home. And this is one of the things that kind of wasn't being made anymore. And so Ella realized, you know, that this was going to go away if we didn't save it. And so we started making Creole cream cheese here at Commander's Palace. And one of the very first things that we did with Creole cream cheese was make Creole cream cheese ice cream, which we still make very often here today, but I thought it was important that it would be on this dessert. Our apple cobbler is drenched in a foie gras caramel and lightly macerated in a little bit of miso with false spice. Again, pairing that sweet and savory and just doing something more exciting, which Ella loved. She also wasn't a fan of very frou-frou desserts. You know, if she was going to eat a dessert, she wanted a dessert. So we made sure to give that to her.
Well, Creole cream cheese is like butter. How could that go away?
Right? I agree. I was shocked that there was a problem there, too. But fortunately, we use it all over the kitchen here at Commander's. It is in savory applications and sweet applications. And so we are teaching everyone how to make it, so it won't go away.
You learn something new every day. I had no idea that it was that difficult to get it any longer.
It had become that way. And fortunately, you know, if enough people put attention to things like that, then we can save, you know, big pieces of our culture that if no one's paying attention, we can lose them, you know.
Chef, if you would, for the benefit of our listening audience, a lot of people don't realize all of the incredible chefs, including yourself, that have made their way through the kind of Commander's system that have influenced the cuisine of New Orleans and the cuisine of this country in so many incredible ways. What's that like for you to be, you know, the one now?
Well, I definitely feel like I stand on the shoulders of giants, you know, and just like, you know, talking about building this menu for Ella and, you know, doing her proud. I feel that way about so many hundreds of culinarians that have come through this building. There have been some very big name chefs that have made fantastic careers for themselves that are household names. But there's also just a lot of really hardworking, very creative, talented folks that have come through this kitchen. And I think everyone that has left a little piece behind here, and they've taken a whole ton with them. And to me, that's just, it's incredible to work in a place that has so much history and so much future in front of it. And it is a lot, but you know, you've got to keep the eye on the prize every day. not get overwhelmed with the responsibility of it, but just realize that, you know, this is a big deal and what we're doing really matters. And I'm very fortunate to work with the people that I have worked with and that I do work with now. And Commanders is going to keep pushing, and we are really enjoying what we're doing here, and we just want to invite everybody to come enjoy it with us.
You know, Chef, what's amazing to me is how many people I've met that have, you know, worked their way through at some point in time in their career at Commanders who are now CEOs of companies that have nothing to do with the restaurant or hospitality industry. Because it's all about a work ethic, right?
Well, it's about a lot of things.
Yeah.
There's so many transferable skills that you can learn in hospitality that can take you anywhere.
Yeah, I'm just always amazed. And what I love, though, is the passion that they talk about their experience and how they hearken back to that time there and how much influence it has on who they are today and you know, their management style and what they're about and how they lead their organization today. I just love hearing these stories.
Well, I love hearing that, too. Thank you for sharing that.
So it's so great to have you with us today. We have just a couple of more opportunities to enjoy this tasting menu, I believe, tonight, tomorrow night, and I'm not sure about the actual birthday night. Is it being offered Thanksgiving evening or no?
It is not going to be offered on Thanksgiving evening. We have a whole special menu for Thanksgiving, but we will have this menu until our Revion menu kicks off.
So oh, okay. Awesome.
Very end of, yeah. So we've got a few more days, but starting Saturday, I think we'll slowly start to change some items as we prepare for our Revion festivities. But it's been a blast to be able to do this menu, and I feel like we've enjoyed it so much that some of these things we'll probably see again. But we do have a few more days, so please come and join us and celebrate Ella with us.
And I know Miss Ella would be so very proud of you, no doubt in my mind.
And well, that's very kind.
And if you would, tell T hello, one of my favorite people.
I would love to, absolutely.
Thank you so much, Chef Meg Bickford from Commander's Palace, the executive chef there. Congratulations and have a great holiday season.
Thank you, too. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Thank you. We will be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us, folks. Well, folks, I don't know about you, but I'm starving. I could have some of the lamb chops or the apple cobbler or the pompano or the flounder or, you know, the drink in the middle. I could have any of that right now. But instead, I've got Tom Moran from the Good Shepherd School president. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Newell. I agree with you. I'm pretty hungry here, too. You and I might be the only two people working in the city right now. Nobody on the road and everybody enjoying the holiday. But it's an absolute pleasure to talk with you.
Well, Tom and I share some of the favorite restaurants in the city, and that's where I usually run into him. And it's always good to see my friend and the incredible work that they're doing over at Good Shepherd School. So, Tom, tell us the state of the state of Good Shepherd. What's happening?
It's amazing to tell this story and realize that Father Thompson's dream is in his 25th year. You talk about defying odds. We're an inner-city Catholic school, and when you look at that segment throughout the country, schools are closing on a daily basis. And we're at record enrollment of 350 kids, or up 230% over the past 7 or 8 years. And even just in the city locally, comparable schools serving the same communities are down 40%. And we're building a second location in the Desire, Florida area in conjunction with the Giving Hope Foundation and a lead gift from Mrs. Benson and the Benson Foundation. We're just defying odds. And it's Father Thompson dies 4 months before this opens, and he was the ultimate visionary in terms of what he did. And he knew that you had to give opportunity and access to families in generational poverty, and education was a ticket out. And he bridged that gap between the wealthiest and the poorest by making it a human connection. We're funded totally by the generosity of others, which this should never work. I always tell that. The worst business model, he leaves this world and he tells people, don't let it fail. Oh, well, thank you, Father Harry. And
true Harry Thompson fashion, right?
No, and it's
We all know him and love him. I was at Jesuit when he arrived there. So I think I was a senior the year that he arrived at Jesuit.
And I came shortly thereafter. And my brother and I are work study students. And I laugh at some point, we were probably good Shepherd kids and didn't know it. Parents married young, and my dad's parents were deceased before he was 22 years old. So we needed that opportunity and that, you know, access that Father Thompson gave. So to be able to continue to fulfill his mission and be a part of it is rewarding. And we're a private board-owned school, which gives us great flexibility, knew it. And, you know, I always say, if you think small, you get small results. Father Harry never thought small. He thought bold and big, and as a result, you get big results. And the families we serve can't have us waiting and being timid. I mean, they're trying to break the grips of generational poverty and all the challenges that come with it. It's a tough road. They need aggressive, bold people who care. And there was nobody more aggressive or that cared more than Father Thompson. And somebody says, well, what makes Good Shepherd different? Well, our founder. We've got something in our DNA that other people don't have. And we're not afraid to run to the tough situations like he did. He went where no one else wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'm here, and we're here to win. And, you know, just back in April, Mr. Red Adams died, and Miss Yvonne died about a year and a half before that. They bought our first building. Father Harry went to a wealthy person and said, you're going to buy me a building, basically. And they did. And that's where it all started with 30 kids. And now to think we're at 350 kids, and it's the same powerful impact that others have when they join us. So it's working, and it's going to continue to work. And we've got national interest. Nula, they just had that big Excellence in Education conference in town this past week.
Mm-hmm.
Three or four people who were speaking at that conference took time out of their conference schedule to come visit Good Shepherd. And one of the executive directors of a big national foundation, he said, you realize your mission's been alive for 25 years. This is not something that happens nationally in inner city Catholic education. And we see all the things that we need to fix here and work on. These are outside people saying, you got something good going here. We want to be a part of it. Just get this second campus moving and another one after that. And we're ready to come be a part of it. So we got to keep telling the story.
So, you're on the cusp of opening this second school now. Is that the case?
Yes. And look, it's been a long, arduous process, not going to lie. The Duhans, Troy and Tracy, bought existing modulars and moved those to the Giving Hope property a couple of years back. And then we started some fundraising efforts, and the Duhans were part of it, and Mickey mm-hmm. Parrington, the Parrington family. And then we got Mrs. Benson with the lead naming right gift. It's going to be the Gail and Tom Benson Giving Hope campus of Good Shepherd. And it's basically a $3.5 million project. We're still in the active fundraising mode, and we've got an $8 million campaign we're in the middle of to finish this project, which will be done for August of 2026 with our first cohort of kindergartners. And then we're building our endowment. Father Harry wanted 8 schools, and he wanted a $10 million endowment. Well, we're getting school 2, and we're about halfway on the $10 million piece. So we don't tell Father Harry no. So, you know, we're still going to get out here and do this piece. And the Desire, Florida area, post-Katrina, has no elementary schools, public, charter, or private. And prior to Katrina, you had Moton, Lockett, and Dunn were in the footprint of Desire in Florida. So we're going to be the only elementary school where kids can come to school there instead of traveling all over the city. And then down the street, you've got Carver High School, which is a wonderful school in the collegiate network of schools. And then you've got Delgado right down the street, the Giving Hope Community Center, and Daughters of Charity. Everything a family needs is in that footprint except the elementary school and the early childhood with the Kids of Excellence. So what we do that's different, too, is it's wraparound services. A family can come to Good Shepherd, get mental health attention. We partner. We're the kings of partnering in MOUs, I tell people. We find other like-minded missions. And look,
you have to be.
Bureau of New Orleans and Abba Counseling and Ashna Hospital and Children's Hospital. They're experts in that. So we bring them in, and a family then has immediate access on campus at no cost to address the needs that come with poverty. I mean, you grow up in a tough neighborhood, the violence, the incarceration that's in your family, those are tough to deal with at any age, particularly a child. And if we don't tackle that, you can never educate. So that's a big part of what we do. And that's made us different. And we've got social workers on campus and talented people, but that's allowed us to get results, you know, and it's the Desire community is a wonderful community, the Desire Florida community. And we can't wait to be there. And we'll start with a kindergarten cohort and grow a grade level at a time, which gives us opportunity to scale and staff properly, which is and it's where we need to be.
And Tom, that'll start when? Next school year?
Next school year.
And
like I said, the process was a little bit long. We had some zoning variance issues. We had to jump through permit issues and then waiting on the Baton Rouge situation with school choice and L.A. Gator to kind of play out. And it's always education is always tough in Baton Rouge in terms of how these programs flesh out. And we're big on the advocacy side to make sure that the families we serve have a voice and they have hope. Father Harry was all about giving hope. And that is what we do. And it's an act of hope. We get in the trenches with people and we work with them. And I always tell people, there's no magic dust to break the cycle of generational poverty. It's a 15, 20-year arc to get a young child in pre-K, 4, and kindergarten, and go through elementary and high school and college, and to get them established and break that cycle. And
well, you don't develop a moral compass in a year, right? I mean, it's an ongoing process. Day in, day out, 24/7, 365. You know, there's no magical sauce that you're going to spray on any of these kids. You know, Tom, I always like to hear the success stories, and I'm sure you have a whole bunch. But if you don't mind, share one with our audience.
Yeah, and look, I'll share one or two. At our gala coming up on December 4th, where we celebrate the mission at the cannery, and everybody's invited to that. Just check the website. But we're going to have one of our graduates speak, Samaj Hollins. She just graduated Loyola University. And before that, she went to St. Catherine Drexel, and she was the salutatorian. This young girl comes from an incredible family, and her sister graduated a couple of years after with us. And she's a walking success story. She is the mission personified. She's making it. And her whole family's lifted up. And then a couple of years ago, we had a young graduate who left us, went to Jesuit High School, and then went to medical school, Andrew Joseph. He's at UC Davis in Sacramento. He's a general surgeon. And he started as a kindergartner. Entire families' narratives are being changed by the students here. And we've got 280 graduates now. When I started in 2016, we had 57. And when you look at the success rate, Newell, and we follow through high school and college, we check in on them and make sure they got what they need. 100% of our kids graduate high school in 4 years. And the surrounding percentage is 79%. And then of those kids that in impoverished communities, only 56% of those go to college and 46% eventually graduate. Well, we've got 85% graduation rate from college. It's 3 or 4 times the national average. So Samaj is in that number and she's going to speak. And then Dr. Andrew Joseph's in that number. And, Mayan Sandifer, who graduated with us, and then Dillard, she's doing college placement at Ursuline Academy. You talk about come full circle. You go to college, you get a degree, you break the cycle, and now you're helping other students at a prestigious high school like Ursuline Academy, helping them with their college process. Boy, you talk about a model that works and a vision that works. And while none of these kids or families obviously met Father Harry, they know him. And it's in their eyes and it's in the way they tell their story. You talk about an appreciation. But no, those are just two of them right there.
When you talk about a percentage rate of graduation, as you just pointed out, that's 30% higher than the average. Something's being done right, obviously.
Yeah, and look, we've got wonderful people, and look, we're aggressive, but most Catholic schools in all parts of the city are paying low salaries. We match public and charter school salaries. We go out and get the best. And, you know, as we went into this year, we knew we were growing. And I learned this from the Brothers of Sacred Heart when I worked at Brother Martin. Every year we had an exercise where we got leaders together and we threw other names up on the board and said, who are talented people in this city we need to be looking at? And they didn't even know we were talking about it. Well, I do the same thing all the time. And this past summer, I circled a name. I said, we got a guy working on the charter networks, Romero Stewart. I said, he's the best educator out there. I said, we're going to get him. He didn't even know we were looking at him. And had a friend reach out to him, and the first conversation went 10 hours. And I said, we're going to hire you. We got a chief education officer now who knows what replication looks like, who knows what systems and processes look like, and knows what success looks like. I got that in our building, the best and the brightest. That allows someone in my position to go out and raise the money and say, you got everything you need from the funding side. Make this growth happen. And we're poised and ready just for the next 25 years is what we tell people. And
so, Tom, if folks wanted to help in this endeavor, where would they go?
You know, our website, thegoodshepherdschool.org, and everything's on there. Look, we need annual giving. You know, we get about 60-65% of our funding comes from the state sources. And then we've got to fundraise about $1.2 to $1.5 million every year to make this go. And so we have events like the gala on December 4th, which is out there. And then annual giving and foundations, supporters and corporations and individuals. And that's what makes it go. And we love when you come visit school too. Anybody who wants to come visit, shoot us a message and come on over. If you walk in this building and meet the kids, you're writing a check when you leave. I just need to get out the way.
Yep.
It's
no doubt about it.
It's that powerful. And
well, Tom, I got to get to a break. I apologize for the interruption, but thank you so much for joining us. GoodShepherdSchool.org is the website if you'd like to contribute. They have a fundraiser December 4th. You can find out information on that on the website as well. Tom Moran, president of the Good Shepherd School. Have a great Thanksgiving and a wonderful holiday season, Tom.
You too. Thank you, Newell.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us, folks.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, folks, coming up in the next hour, we're going to sit down with Mayor-elect Helena Moreno and Joe Geruso, who served as chairman of the Budget Committee for the New Orleans City Council. And the mantra of the Helena Moreno's new administration, new direction, New Orleans, and this is an amended 2026 budget proposal. And the reason it's amended is that the existing mayor, LaToya Cantrell, filed a budget for 2026. The mayor-elect is now proposing an amended budget. And I'm going to read the overview so that we you can understand where they're coming from. And this is provided for by the mayor-elect. New Orleans is facing profound and structural fiscal challenges that will require disciplined leadership, strategic decision-making, and a commitment to delivering essential services. It is clear that the steps we take in the coming weeks are just the beginning of our work to return the city to firm financial footing. Helena Moreno's first and most persistent priority is delivering the full value of the basic services that New Orleanians deserve, and her work to repair the city's financial situation is centered on that promise. Mayor-elect Moreno's proposal is a balanced budget that couples strategic revenue increases with reductions of excess mayoral staff, realignments, and strategic reorganization of city functions and targeted cuts where necessary. The mayor-elect is committed to delivering essential services, but to also protect hardworking frontline city employees as much as possible. Many of these belt-tightening operations are temporary but necessary measures to address acute challenges. This fall, she will deliver a transparent, practical, and efficient budget that reflects her promise to move the city in a new direction while resolving some of the immediate challenges left on her doorstep as she assumes office this January. You heard me talk about in my monologue about trying to get breathing space, and that's exactly, I think, what this is all about. So stay with us. We will be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.